you guys.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show.
Here we go, peeps.
Yeah.
Got it for you tonight.
Yeah.
Woo! We ain't sleeping tonight, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
No sleep till Brooklyn. That's right. That's oh, man.
No rest for the weary.
Talking sports. Yeah. Who's 973? You know 973? Is that your boy Big Mike?
No, I don't know who 973 is.
All right, so we're going to keep you on hold for a minute. I'm not sure what this is. Anyway, of course, welcome to Talking Sports, the 12th man. I am your boy, your host, Dre. Join my fellow co-hosts, JQ and Rob. They're just trying to figure out the number for Cam Newton and his stylist so they can get some fashion advice. But, yeah, let's have some fun here, as always, man. So,
no, thank you. I'm not interested in wearing capris.
Yeah.
Let's see how you're,
artist trying to say.
You're there? Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's join in real quick. JQ, how you doing this evening, sir? You doing all right?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I got to go see y'all's two favorite teams playing personally the other day. That was electric in the dome, boy. It was crazy. And me and the homie Dre, it's coming real quick, man. New Year's Eve, Carolina, Atlanta.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, we have some fun, man. It's going to be fun, man. So we're going to take some pictures, and we'll post it for you guys as well, too. So fun
times,
man. Yeah,
y'all post some pictures on the Talking Sports page.
We will.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll
I might break out the white Julio for y'all for that game. I might break it up.
Do it, man. So much fun, man. Rob, how you
doing,
bro?
Man, doing great. Can't complain. Pelicans LSU won tonight. Hey, let's make it do what it do.
All right. He is off the chain, ready to roll. All right, so give me the numbers real quick. The 424-243-9519, that's our number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then also Facebook, as Rob just said. We're going to post that to Talking Sports with the 12th man as well. So, caller, I'm going to pick you up. You got a short leash here. Let's see what's happening here. And just stay tuned, guys, because I'm not sure what's going to happen here.
Yep.
Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. What's going on?
Good evening. This is Luke from Jersey. I've heard about your show, but this is the first time I got a chance to call.
Oh, man.
Hey, how's it going, man?
About real quick. Yeah,
we appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold for quite a while, but I either didn't get through or just didn't have time between other shows.
Good deal. How's Jersey?
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of sports topics do you want to? What's on your mind up there in Jersey?
Well, right now, our Knicks are hanging around better. They've done better in the past few weeks and doing better than last season since we got rid of a few pounds of extra baggage from last season.
That wouldn't be Melo,
yeah,
right?
Carmelo Anthony. You don't want to say any names, don't you?
To protect the innocent, yes. You get the idea.
Do you like the future?
Kristaps Porzingis, I tell you, man, he's looking like a really elite basketball player now, the future all-star in this game. And there's a remote possibility that LeBron James may join him in New York. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a remote possibility you might get him next
year.
Very
remote.
Keep hope alive, right?
Yeah, come on, Jesse.
You got a better chance of seeing a snowstorm in July in New York City than that happening.
Probably true.
Hey, you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, because, as I said, he's not going to go at this stage in his career. He wouldn't pull it off twice.
I don't know. I don't think he's staying in Cleveland, but I don't know if New York is the destination. We were going to talk about that shortly.
Yeah.
But I could see him leaving again. If you do it once, you can do it twice. But I don't know about the Knicks. Not that
I don't know. Not at this stage in his career, no. Not at this stage.
Well, think about how old his team is in Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, Isaiah Thomas is going to resign. Is his hip okay? You can never count on Derrick Rose. I mean, Tristan Thompson's overpaid. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at the roster he's got in Cleveland, it's on its last leg.
Yeah. Derrick who?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like I said, Derrick who, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it all depends on how Cleveland finishes this season. And my, I know this is a topic mm-hmm. later on in the show, but I guess since we're bringing it up, I guess if you really look at it here, if Cleveland makes it to the finals again this season, I think it would be foolish for LeBron James to leave. And the reason why I say that is you can go to the Western Conference. I mean, he's getting to the finals every year. It would be foolish. He's got a good track record of getting players to come and play with him now. His first stint in Cleveland, he couldn't get nobody to come to Cleveland. But the only guy he hasn't been able to keep there or get there is Kyrie Irving. Obviously, he left them this past offseason. So I think he's got a good – if he gets to the finals again, in my opinion, it'd be foolish to leave. Because if you can get to the finals, you never know what ball may – you know, how things may bounce your way in the NBA finals. It will be foolish to leave. But there are some attractive alternatives if he does leave. Obviously, if he goes to Houston and join with the Harden and Chris Paul, I mean, I don't know if James Harden want to relinquish being the number one guy and how that will work in Houston, because Harden likes to have the ball in his hand. Paul likes to have the ball in his hand. Then you got a guy like LeBron who likes to have the ball in his hand as well. But think about Philadelphia. I mean, joining Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I mean, that could be attractive. Getting Markelle Fultz, and that could be an attractive option. We talked about Kristaps Porzingis as well. So, I mean, there are a couple of other teams. Obviously, the Lakers are still going to be in play as well. He has a home in Los Angeles as well.
He bought a second
So there are going to be a few other teams,
one.
I think, are in play if he – I'm sorry?
He bought another home in Los Angeles this past week. So he's got two homes in Los Angeles now. Just
what are you
doing
in Los Angeles? You don't even live there.
Well, there you go.
I don't know, but he bought a second one, and he bought a bigger one than the one he got in Brentwood. He bought another one in Brentwood that's bigger than the first one. And I think it was like $22 million or something like that. It's something crazy.
Yeah. LeBron is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you got crazy money, so, I mean, you know. But I hear what you're saying, Rob.
I'll give you that, Rob, but
that East is going to start to get a little bit more competitive because they got a rising sun there in Boston, and I don't know how much longer it's just going to be. You can pencil Cleveland in. That Boston team is young and deep and scary, and I hate Boston.
That makes two of us.
I do, too. Three of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know if you're a New Yorker, you hate everything in Boston. The Red Sox, you hate the Patriots, and you hate the Celtics, I'm pretty sure.
You forgot one.
Which one? The Bruins?
The Bruins?
That's it.
Yep.
Well, anything else you want to say before we wrap up, though, real quick? Because we know we're going to wrap up. Anything else you want to kind of comment or say?
Well, let's see. Who would you hate more? No. Anyway, your take on the Heisman. Do you think Mayfield was the clear winner, or do you think that one of the other candidates had a better shot?
Oh, I think it's Baker.
Mayfield was definitely hands-on, in my opinion.
Good. I don't feel stupid.
He was definitely hands-on, hands-down, the best college football player. I mean, obviously he had some off-the-field antics, but actually on-the-field antics. He's clearly the best player in college football this season. We're going to talk a little bit about his draft stock and just to tease some of our listeners here. I got my top 10 early mock draft that we're going to talk about where Baker Mayfield is going to land a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah, but do you think he wants to go to Cleveland? Because,
that's too high.
Nobody wants Cleveland.
Yeah, that's too high. I don't think he jumps all the way
that
far.
Yeah, he's going to go number one overall, but he will be a first-round pick, in my opinion.
Okay, so you don't think he's going to go all the way to the top pick? Because usually the team that, that does do the worst – gets first choice, and that would be the Browns.
Yeah, but you got Darnold,
yeah.
You got Rosen. But
right
I mean,
now I have the Browns taking Josh tired. Rosen from UCLA
yep.
with the number one pick.
Ah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, you know, I read one where it said that they were going to take Darnold. Yeah. I think that's a coin flip right now between Rosen and Darnold. But it was interesting that they had them take a Saquon Barkley at six. If that pans out with that pick that they get from, I forget which pick they get from which team, but they get, they're going to have two top 10 picks.
Houston.
If you mess around, Houston, if you mess around and get
yep.
Darnold or slash Rosen and Saquon Barkley, I mean, that's a nice first round for Cleveland. We give them a lot of crap, but if they pull that off, I mean, mm-hmm. you got to give them a head nod. That's a very nice first round.
Yes.
That's almost having Goff and Gurley like what the Rams have right there.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, my mock draft, I actually have the Browns taking Rosen at one and taking Saquon Barkley at number five. So I actually have the exact same mock draft. Obviously, they're getting that first-round pick from Houston with the Deshaun Watson trade.
Right.
That'd be
tough.
That Saquon wasn't one of the top candidates for the Heisman.
Well, he kind
of
fell off a cliff. Yeah, he started off tough. And after that Ohio State game, I think it was Ohio State and then Michigan State the next week, where they pretty much held him in check. And Baker, you know, when you go into Bedlam and you throw for, I think he was for 500 yards against Oklahoma State, he was just lighting people up down the stretch. And when there was no real clear-cut consistency after Barkley, you know, had fell off a cliff, so to speak, he just kind of took that mantle and ran with it. And I couldn't be mad at them picking him. I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, to see Lamar Jackson get it, only because Louisville was 8-4, and not that he wasn't deserving, because he put up actually better stats this year than he did last year. But you normally don't see somebody get awarded like that on an 8-4 team to be one of the only three finalists to go to New York. So I was a little surprised at that, and not because of his talent, just because of the way his team finished.
All right, I'll buy that.
Cool. Well, like I said, definitely we appreciate you checking in from Jersey, okay? But tell us your name real quick, boss.
Oh, sorry. It's Lou from Jersey.
All right, Lou.
Lou or Brother Louie or whatever the case may be.
We appreciate it. Tune in to us again on next Wednesday night, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern. Spread the word for us up there in New Jersey.
If time allows me, I will because I do a lot of other shows in between. So if I have time between shows, I definitely will give a call.
Yeah, all right,
man.
I appreciate you, Lou.
All right.
Thank you so much. And then,
Lou,
like I said,
thanks a lot again for tuning in.
Yes, sir.
Woohoo! That was Lou from Jersey.
Hey, I know.
And I got a little scared because I had the finger on the button. I was ready to, like, hang up on him because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was going to, like, go a little sideways, but I'm glad everything worked out.
Yeah.
So, Lou, yeah,
I appreciate
that
Lou,
good.
For sure.
Yeah, it was good to have that. So we appreciate Lou and next time
definitely
we'll have
good
a
conversation.
A good
both two very good topics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. All right, gentlemen. So we are literally kicking off, and we'll jump right into some couple recaps here. I know we've been talking a lot of basketball, a lot of different subjects too as well. So, we can kind of be really brief about this, guys, because we got to talk about the Hawks. I don't really know what you want to recap, Rob, about that, and Lonzo Ball and the Lakers and then anything else too. So give us those quick recaps because, again, I don't have too much to say about what happened. But go ahead real quick, Rob.
You have nothing
really
to say
don't.
About your Hawks? Oh, you don't know if that's your favorite team anymore. I forgot.
Ooh,
but,
that is not what I'm trying to say.
But
that's
anyway,
what
obviously.
What am I going to say?
But anyway, yeah, just another phenomenal basketball game last night by LeBron James, almost having another triple-double. Definitely in the MVP conversation again. He kind of faded out of that conversation a little bit the last couple of years. So another big game. Kevin Love, another one also with a double-double on last night. So a pretty big game for him as well on last night as the Cavaliers. I believe they won 16 out of 17 games. At the moment, and the Hawks fall to 6-21, and the Cavs are 20-8. And Lonzo Ball last night against the Knicks, obviously the game went into overtime. Tough Lonzo Ball had played pretty well in the third quarter. I think the other three quarters he was pretty average. And obviously, you know, he's still a rookie. He did put up 3-for-6 from the three-point lane. Had about 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. So you're starting to see a little bit of progress, But I think if you're, you know, a Lakers fan, you want to start seeing him have that production in all four quarters. And last night he really just gave it to you in the third.
Hold on.
Yeah, as a Lakers fan, go ahead.
I'm just going to say this real quick because I know Rob's talking a lot of junk here. I am going to say, you know, we lost John Collins and he's been out for a couple of weeks. Hopefully he'll be back this Saturday. Promising rookie for the Hawks too, man. So that's definitely not good for the Hawks. John Collins.
I'm just messing with you.
Played for Wake Forest. But, you know, I know,
I know exactly
crap,
what you're talking
bro,
about.
But,
I was just teasing.
And then Devin was playing well, too. Yeah, you know, great pickup, you know, from the Spurs. So, again, we lost a lot of big men, and Mike Muscala's out. So we're dealing with some injuries, and everyone has injuries. But, again, it's just one of the things, even if we have those guys, it's been tough. I really do hope that we get Michael Porter Jr. That's my pick. So, hopefully, he's on the shelf. So, you know, hopefully we'll draft him for the Hawks.
Over Bagley?
That's what I like to get in the yeah, man.
I think he kind of fits.
I think Porter kind of fits what we're looking for. He's kind of like the swing forward. He's a 6'10". You know, that's my guy, you know. So, and then, again, I will say this is totally off the radar, too. It's kind of sad to hear about Tommy Novus' pass for the Falcons. Great Falcon, great. He just passed, which is kind of sad, too. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, over Bagley, again, like I said, I think Porter kind of fits what we're looking for, too, you know, as far as that. So,
well,
yeah.
I tell you what, if you do that, you'll have a lot of echoes from Marvin. Yeah, he's tripping. You'll hear echoes of Marvin Williams over Chris Paul if that happens. I just don't see you not leaving Bagley on the board.
Okay.
I do. I think you got to take Bagley. Okay. I think he's going to be special, like super special. And to your point, Rob, yeah, I agree with Alonzo. Yeah, and he got to get his dad to sit down. I mean, come on, man. But what I'm really encouraged about is Brandon.
He needs
Ingram.
To stop
he's
being an AAU
kind of,
dad and become an NBA dad.
Yeah, he's tripping. I'm really more excited about – Kuzma's been doing it, and we've seen that since the summer league. I'm really excited about Brandon Ingram and the path that he's now taking himself upon. And they look better for not having traded him and holding on to him. It's still a small sample size. But, you know, he's just been playing with an aggression and intensity. He reminds me a lot of Kevin Durant, and I know that's very high, lofty praise, but he does. And it seems like he's getting that edge earlier in his career than – and, you know, Kevin Durant's just now getting it. But, yeah, I mean, Lonzo's got – he's got the talent, but Lonzo, you cannot put your face on the Illmatic cover on the sweatshirt. Come on, man. Come on.
I know that was funny.
You can't do that, man. What's wrong with you?
I want to be supportive,
but you can't – it was not funny. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
it's
man,
blasphemous.
It was,
you
man.
Can't
it
do
was
it.
Blasphemous, yeah. But it was, like, funny. Like, what the – I'm like, what is he doing?
Come on, man. Like, he's just he's got like a serious hatred for Nas that they're going to have to explore. Like, he goes at Nas a lot if you've been following it. Like, he goes at him. I don't understand why. Like, Nas is a pioneer in the game. What is your problem?
Yeah. Anyway, I love
that's
it.
All I had.
Good call.
Yeah,
that's all good. Hey, we're going to skip over a couple topics here because I do want to talk about Paul George. The big three, supposedly, Westbrook, Melo, Anthony, and Paul George combined for 10-for-45, even though they pulled off a win versus Paul George's old team. And I guess the question is, should
Indiana.
The Thunder trade him? Yeah, and then also, is he good as we thought? And it's tough because I'm going to say that probably not within OKC. It's just not a good chemistry. And maybe, I don't know what's happened, if he's just – looking towards next year or what, but I don't know if trading is the right answer, but I just think that maybe Paul's a little disenchanted right now. So that's my thought about that too. But what do you think, JQ?
Well, the thing about that is if you do that with the way that Oladipo is just playing lights out for Indiana, unless you get a really good return for him, that's not going to be a good look. It's like, I mean, I know Oladipo probably wouldn't be able to play like that with Westbrook, you know, taking all the oxygen out of the room. Oladipo's looked really good for Indiana. So if you make that trade now and you waive that,
he's the most
crucially
in NBA.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a bad look for OKC. But, you know, I talk about it a lot. We're so, as a society, just transfixed on what have you done for me today. And, you know, it's still a small sample size. I mean, yeah, you get to that point in the season, I get it. But you got three alpha dudes that have been the man on their teams trying to make it work. And I don't know what kind of relationship they had, you know, off the court, if they were trying to get together or if OKC said, hey, yeah, we can make this happen. So they threw them together and those dudes weren't really cool like that, like a LeBron and a Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were. that chemistry was already kind of there. I mean, I think you just kind of have to give him a second. I think that's a very knee-jerk reaction. And Paul George had the calf injury. So, you know, how long before he actually missed games was that calf hurting? So I'm not going to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, quite yet. It's once you make that deal and you see Oladipo blow up like that and you trade Paul George, you know, 40 games after, you know, giving up that piece, that's not going to be a good look. They might need to look at Billy Donovan and say, hey, bro, you, Mr., you know, national championships at Florida, what are you doing as a worth as a coach to make this a better situation behind the scenes and scheme-wise to get these guys to play better together? Put your foot down and make some things happen. So, I mean, maybe a little later, maybe closer to the trade deadline in February if it's still not working. But, you know, and the other piece, sorry for the long-winded piece, but you looked at Westbrook with that extension that was on the table for a long time, and he didn't sign it until Paul George and Melo got on the team. If you then trade Paul George, what does Westbrook feel about that? Like, oh, man, I signed the contract thinking it's the three of us going to make it work, and now you trade one of them, and you trade the younger of the three, and we've all talked about Melo being a little over the hill, and you keep him. What does that do for Westbrook and his relationship with Oklahoma City's front office and wanting to stay there and maybe trying to pull a Kyrie and force a trade at that point? So you kind of got to a little be patient and let it work itself out a little bit. I know you don't have a ton of time in the Western Conference because it's so competitive. But, man, to pull the plug that early is very much a knee-jerk reaction to me.
Mm-hmm.
Great, Robert.
Rob, floor is yours, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in this particular situation, I totally agree with JQ that you got to put a lot of blame on Billy Donovan for not making this work. And I know we've talked about this on the show before, but I definitely think they should be bringing Carmelo Anthony off the bench. To give them, to separate those units a little bit and to give them some firepower to come off of the bench of that second unit. And I'm surprised he hasn't done that yet. But as far as the option of trading Paul George, if this ship has not been fixed by the trading deadline, absolutely am I trading Paul George, because you can't take that risk. If this is not successful for OKC, he's not going to stay there. He's a free agent. So obviously you have to give yourself an opportunity to give something in return. Maybe there's a contending team that feel like Paul George can help them to get over the top. And so absolutely, if you're OKC, if this is not fixed by February and there's nothing promising towards it, I mean, right now they're a game under 500 after the win tonight, and they're out of the playoffs if the season ended today. So if it's not fixed by February, by all means, I'm looking at options of trading Paul George and seeing what I can get in return. And you have to, you know, you have to explain that situation to Russell Westbrook. Hey, we got to protect our future here a little bit and seeing what kind of assets we can get in return for him as well. So by all means, if it's not working by February, I'm not taking that chance. I'm getting rid of him.
Good call, guys. I'm not going to spend too much time. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that Carmelo Anthony doesn't come off the bench, bro. I'm just telling you that, man. I'm a starter. Just saying. All right, let's move on with this. Just to let you guys know.
He want to win. He better get it together.
I'm about to say, do you want to win or you want to stay being a loser?
Oh, man.
Right.
I am not coming off the bench.
Right.
I'm being facetious, but I'm telling you.
I mean, hey, look
know,
at the track
record right
here. Look at the Knicks. What was our caller's name again? He's already called and said, hey, the Knicks have gotten better without you.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Really quickly, gosh, man, this is heavy as far as these topics with LeBron James and joining the Houston Rockets. I don't think that's a destination for him. As you said earlier, Rob, just because of the ball dominant with James Harden and Chris Paul. And I think you look at the league now because I do think, guys, that there's certain things such as chemistry. I don't know how LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh made it work because, you know, clearly they're knowing how to do it. And even, like, looking at Durant and Curry and Thompson, they're making it work because it's a chemistry thing. So, again, you really got to look at, you know, personalities and stuff like that too. So I'm going to say no to that as far as I'm joining the Rockets next season. What say you on that, JQ?
Well, here's the thing. I can hear what you're saying, and, Rob, you make a great point. The usage rates for all three of them is through the roof. But right now, Chris Paul and Harden are making it work. And the only thing, the only caveat is, you know, he has that relationship with Chris Paul that, you know, we don't have to rehash again. But LeBron has played a ton of minutes in his career. Does he take that opportunity to be the anti-Carmelo and not necessarily come off the bench because that's not going to happen, but say, I don't necessarily need to have the ball, nor do I necessarily want it at this point in my career as much, because it allows me to be more effective in shorter bursts of frames during the game, as opposed to having to log the heavy load that I do in Cleveland, as I've had for all these years. So he may take it as an opportunity to say, if I go with these two guys, especially James Harden, I can extend my career a little bit because I don't have to play as many minutes because they don't need as much from me because I have these other two guys here with me. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but, I mean, I think he's smart enough to know he has a high enough basketball IQ to where he may take that into consideration and say, okay, instead of playing almost 40 minutes a game, maybe I can get away with playing 30 to 35, and I can uptick the 40 in the playoffs if need be, but I can kind of save myself during the season and be the best LeBron I can be come playoff time when I need it the most in this loaded Western Conference. So I can't discount that. And let's not also talk about the fact that Texas doesn't have any state tax. And he's got to be getting killed with those two mansions in California right now. Maybe he unloads one, but you save some of that money, you go to Houston, you don't pay that state tax. So you can never take that out of the realm of the possible when you talk about the Texas franchises and the Florida franchises not having a state tax.
Good call. Good call. Go ahead, Rob.
Income state tax, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I still think, though, if Cleveland makes it to the NBA Finals, he stays. I think if he doesn't make it to the NBA Finals this season some kind of way, I think there's a highly possibility that he's going to look for his next chance to go to a championship contender. I think Houston would definitely be in the mix, and that could definitely put them in play with Golden State, even in the Western Conference. And also, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think he would consider a young team. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Markel Fultz, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Eastern Conference, he's on the Eastern Conference. He can get back to the NBA Finals, possibly even with that particular organization. And so I definitely think, I really don't believe that he'll go to the Lakers and the Knicks just yet, because I don't think they have the personnel. Now, he could get somebody to go to Los Angeles with them. And Paul George, if he's still a free agent. He can definitely get someone to go to L.A. with them. So that could also be in the mix. I don't think the Knicks would be in the mix. And I know there's some talk about him putting together another super team in Miami. I don't think that's going to happen either. So my opinion, if they're back in the NBA Finals, he stays in Cleveland. He keeps trying to attract personnel to join him in Cleveland. If not, and I can definitely see him going to somewhere like Houston, Philly, or L.A.
Philly is a sleeper. You're right. That Philly team with LeBron is, because Embiid and Simmons have definitely taken the next step forward. You put LeBron with them and you get Fultz at 75% of what you thought he was going to be, man, look out. And Covington, they just signed him to a contract extension as well.
Mm-hmm.
Word on the street, guys.
Yeah, you're talking about versatility with Simmons, LeBron, and Covington.
And Embiid.
Word on the street.
That's nasty.
Is that what's his name? Marcel Fultz, right? They're not really sure how he's going to progress, and as far as him and the way that Ben Simmons has been playing, that he may be kind of expendable. So I don't know if that's kind of like just word on the street here, but that's what I've been hearing too. So I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on the situation for sure. Not that you're giving up too soon, but that's just kind of what they're hearing.
But they're
going to
use him more of as a two guard. I think Simmons is still going to be the main ball handler.
Definitely.
And Fultz is a really good shooter. I mean, he can really shoot the basketball. So they're going to use him off the ball a lot as opposed to, handling the ball. So I think there's a role for him still there in Philadelphia when healthy.
Interesting.
And,
we'll see how it plays out.
And the other pieces, they basically just gave Okafor away, if we're being honest. They just gave him away to Brooklyn. So can you really give up on Fultz? Unless you get a really dynamite package for him, then all means you got to do what's best for your basketball team. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but when you've already just basically given Okafor away and you've done all that tanking and not to end up with Simmons and Embiid is anything bad because it's great, but when you had all four of them and you're giving one away, can you really trade that other one unless you got we got this, back deal already in place for LeBron to come? That's tough to sell to the fan base if we tanked and then we gave away two of those four high first-round picks that we got. You know what I mean? That's tough.
Yeah. I'm with you. I was hearing some stuff about that.
Absolutely.
So interesting. Yeah, all right. Congrats to Indianapolis Warriors.
Although Trevor Booker is not the player Jahlil Okafor is. But I think Booker is a good fit for with the 76ers need. A veteran like that who comes off the bench and he hustles, man. He battles every minute he's on the floor. I think that's a player that could really help the 76ers.
Yeah,
yeah, but you can't take the third overall pick and get Booker out of it and have that be it. That's still a giveaway. I mean,
No.
Yeah,
I understand that.
I'm with you on JQ. I do think
he's a good fit for that team.
Yeah.
You're like, is this really happening? Yeah. Do it fast before they change their mind.
Right.
Him
and D'Angelo Russell is interesting. Another piece or two there. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like I said, really quickly, congrats to Indianapolis.
Yeah, you
got to
get Russell help.
Also, again.
Yeah.
Rob, this is fantasy shout outs here. We got about 14 minutes here, and this is fantasy shout outs here, bro. Rough week, man. Man, I'm so pissed at the.
All right, let's get to the fantasy shout outs here. We'll start off here with fantasy basketball. Hey, Andre, 3 weeks in a row, triple double, 7-1 over Madhouse on Madison. Biggest win of the week in fantasy basketball. Congrats, Andre. And also, my team, the Night War Rim Shakers, had a 7-1 win over the Blue Devil All-Stars. Sitting in first place on JQ's team, the Ohio Players, 46-18, holding down first place at the moment. And that was the fantasy basketball shout-out. Fantasy football, league number one, Will, the Smoking Aces from Madison, Wisconsin, with a 125.22 win over the Bristol Bombers. Yours truly, my team, the Black and Gold, 11-2 in first place. Got a big playoff matchup against JQ's team this weekend, the Ohio Players. And league number two, Mark in Atlanta, the ATL Black Belt, had the biggest win of the week, 149.34 over Bears Nation, 79.58. Andre's team in first place, 10-3. Playoffs.
That's right.
And it's Jim Mara.
You gotta say it like
league number
more.
Three. Say it, man. Say it. I was trying
Randy.
To keep you up, man.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Like straight cash, homie.
That's right.
There you go.
League number three. L's Coleholics from New Orleans. 120.94 over NOLA for life, 63.08. JQ's team in first place at 9-4. The Ohio Players. And league number four, my team, the Purple Knights, had the biggest win of the week over Baby Got Backfield, 187.24 to 85.12. And my team, the Purple Knights, in first place at 10-4. And also have a playoff matchup again against Baby Got Backfield this weekend. Those are your fantasy shout-outs for the week.
Yeah, my basketball one is short-lived. My whole team is hurt. We are just the Red Cross. That's my team name to the Red Cross. And I play Rob in that league this week, and I'm sure I'm going to get smashed as this week goes on because I just don't have enough bodies to start. I'll pass the mail to you. You go ahead and take the first place around.
I've been hurting with injuries, too. I just got John Wall back tonight, so hopefully that'll help me. But I got Evan Fournier out, D'Angelo Russell still out. And I'm drawing a blank on who my third injury is. Kyle Anderson from the Spurs. So I still got three guys out, too.
I got like five.
So I've been mashing my team to get a two. But But just getting John Wall back tonight, hopefully that'll help me.
Oh,
yes,
John
sir. Oh, I'm just so happy to try to take a title here, man. So I'm trying to focus on basketball really hard, man. So we'll see if that leads to something for sure, man. So we're having fun for sure. All right, guys.
Absolutely.
Rob, you got to be really brief, man, with these college basketball updates, man, because I want to talk about some stuff, too. So just, you know, I don't know if you want to really be brief, bro. Go ahead, man.
All right. Let me get to my notes here. What are we talking about
We
here?
Just skip over it if we need to.
Creighton basketball.
Yeah.
Obviously, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. First time, maybe the last time we're here to name on our show. Going against Creighton, one of the Big East contenders this season. Creighton 7-2. And Creighton has got an offensive powerhouse, averaging over 91 points per game. And they're shooting the ball very well. They're shooting over 51% as a team. So they're going to be tough to stop. This game won't be close. Probably be a 30-40 point victory for Creighton. And then when you look at Purdue against Butler, obviously Butler was a little down last season. They're rebounding a little bit. Both of these teams play extremely good defenses, holding their teams about 65 points a game. But I think Purdue will take care of business at home in this matchup of two Indiana teams. Also, Purdue playing good defense, but they also scoring about 86 points a game, too, and a 17th rank in the country. Excuse me. 18th ranked Notre Dame going on the road at Indiana, another all Indiana matchup. Obviously, it's very shocking that Indiana is really down in basketball, and they've been down for a few years now. Look for Notre Dame to go on the road and get this win. They're 8-2, and they'll go on the road and get a win. And of course, Wisconsin with a nail biter victory over Western Kentucky tonight, as they are still under 500 and seems to be having a down year in basketball this year as well.
All right, that's enough of that.
Sure.
Not that it was a bad thing. We had a lot of things happening. All right, this was a quick thing. So, you know, Rob, you know about Scott Richmond. He's our – and JQ, he's a guy that we both share mutual interest with. He's a huge Philadelphia fan. I haven't heard from this week. I'm kind of nervous. I thought he was on, like, suicide watch, man, because of Carson Wentz, man. So you just talk about just a tough injury and the fact that that Philly team was, you know, playing so well. This is going to put a huge wrinkle in what's happening. Can Nick Foles lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl? That's a resounding no for me. But just an interesting dynamic is how that one injury has really impacted that team. So what say you about this, JQ?
Well, I'm going to give you a name, and I'm going to go back on you. Jeff Hostetler for the New York Giants. When Phil Simms hurt his foot, it's not different. Listen, the Eagles have a good team, and that game against the Rams was still pretty good. And when he got hurt, Nick Foles came in, and that third down pass, I think, to Nelson Aguilar to extend the drive to be able to milk that clock was an incredible throw. And listen, he's not Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not going to say that, but he has enough talent around him on the defensive side of the ball. He's got a good stable of running backs. He's got a good tight end at Ertz. He's got a good wide receivers. You're asking him to manage the game, and he can make good throws. Like, don't forget, a couple years ago, he was having a really good year. As a stopgap, for 16 games, no. But when you've already got it and you've got the East locked up and you got a chance to go ahead and get a bye, so you're asking him to win basically three playoff games and keep it going for the last couple of weeks here with the team that he has, I'm not going to pencil him into the Super Bowl because I'm not saying that because we've talked about it ad nauseum. That NFC is loaded. And Carson Wentz Stewart has also had problems getting through that NFC. But I'm not going to say their season is over and they should just give up hope. I think Nick Foles is adequate in a short-term time span with the team he has right now to keep them somewhat on track. I think they rely more on the running game. You see a lot more of the tight ends, even though they use the tight ends a lot. And you still got Aguilar and Jeffrey out there playing pretty well. So I'm not going to put the shovel on the Eagles yet. So, you know, you Eagles fans out there, don't jump off that bridge yet into the Delaware. You still got a shot.
Right. The question was, can he lead them to the Super Bowl? Not can he lead them for a couple of games. The question was the Super Bowl. That's what we're asking.
I answered that. I talked about that if they get the first round bye, he's only got to get two to get to the Super Bowl, and they're probably going to have home field advantage if he does that. I'm just saying he has a good enough team. He's not a team that he can put that team on his back to have a lot of glaring deficiencies, and you say, okay, Nick Foles is going to come in and take us to the promised land. No, I'm not saying that. But given a team that he has around him, can he keep that ship afloat a la Trent Dilfer, so to speak, where you just don't go in there and mess it up? I think that can happen.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I wasn't, like, trying to be, like, beat you. I was just saying, too, it's just – I think it's a tall task because, again, right now, you know, most of that team is in a different state. Now, you know, you can act all big and bravado, but whenever, you know, you have to see how the team is going to respond. So that's all I'm saying.
That's true.
They're good enough, but they, you know, how they're going to respond is anything. So go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Well, I mean, obviously, they've clinched the NFC East already. The NFC East is down, and their schedule for the remainder of the year still is pretty weak. So there's a really good chance that they'll still be the 1 or 2 seed, maybe at worst a 3 seed here, depending on what happens down the stretch. But obviously, I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz was a legitimate MVP candidate this season, and there was a reason why Nick Foles was the backup quarterback to Carson Wentz. So it'll be hard for me to see that happening, especially in a loaded NFC. And could they possibly win one game? They could. They could possibly not win any games at home, too. I think it's just going to come down to the matchups. I know JQ mentioned the Trent Dilfer. I mean, that Trent Dilfer team with Baltimore, that defense was just so – Philadelphia's got a good defense. But it's not Baltimore Ravens good or that 2000 Super Bowl team.
No, I'm not saying that.
That was a great defense. And
great.
And so I mean I think it would take that in order for the and the Eagles do have talent on this team, but I just can't see them doing it with a backup quarterback in the loaded NFC. And I know Case Keenum was technically a backup, and he's come in and leading his team into a possibly Super Bowl run as well. And but I just think he's got so many games under his belt now. I don't know if we're going to get that opportunity. I guess really I just have to have a wait-and-see approach, but I'm going to say no, he cannot lead them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Nick Foles has played in a lot of games, so it's not like he's just a rookie coming in, you know, straight out of college. Look, I'm not saying Nick Foles is MVP. I'm not saying that. My only thing is that Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz is definitely a better quarterback than Nick Foles. And Nick Foles, I know Nick Foles is definitely the backup for sure. But you talked about it. They have that chance to get a 1-2 seed. And you got to come to Philadelphia probably for at least one game in the playoffs. And they've got a good enough defense. They've got a good enough offensive weaponry. And the offensive line has kind of stabilized itself since they've lost, I believe, Peters to the injury. So I'm not saying they're going to go in the tank like, you know, you saw Houston go in the tank when Deshaun Watson got hurt. I don't think it's that level of drop-off from Wentz to Foles as people want to make it out to be. He's not a sexy name or a sexy player, so to speak. But you talked about it, Case Keenum. Nobody has Case Keenum doing what he's doing right now. He's showing no signs of slowing down. And he's got a very good defense. He's got a decent backfield. He's got good offensive weapons. So, to me, they're very comparable in terms of Case Keenum and Nick Foles. I'm not asking you to do too much just to work within the confines of the system and let our defensive play and use the weapons around you and let them do the work for you. I'm not pissing them into the Super Bowl because the NFC is loaded. But I'm not going to say they're a one-and-done team either in the playoffs because Carson Wentz is gone. I think they have definitely take a step back. Don't get me wrong. But they still have enough firepower to give people problems in the playoffs.
All Philly fans are loving JQ right about now.
I'm really surprised that at JQ making that assumption because I know historically JQ, when he makes predictions, he always compared the team's quarterbacks, if you notice.
Yep.
We go back to a couple of years ago, Kirk Cousins against Aaron Rodgers. He's like, stop it. You can't think that Kirk Cousins is going to beat Aaron Rodgers.
Even this past week,
he would not pick Jacksonville because he said Blake Bortles would not beat Russell Wilson.
And I was
very surprised that he's picking these things that Nick.
it is pretty hilarious.
I am a little surprised that he feels that way about Nick Foles because he compares the quarterbacks a lot in his predictions.
I do. And when we get to it, depending on who they play, I still might pick against Philadelphia. My only point is I'm not saying that they are just, you know, that they become the Cleveland Browns overnight because they go from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles. That's my only point of all of that. Cleveland is that's hyperbole. But you know what I mean. It's just not like, oh, my God, you know, just don't even buy your playoff tickets. Like, I wouldn't take it that far. They still have a chance. But I said before, I'm not pissing them into the Super Bowl because, of course, Wentz is a much better quarterback than Nick Foles. But to say they're going to fall off a cliff, I don't say they're going to fall off a cliff, I guess is my overall point today. And you stop using my words against me, Robert Ford, okay? I do compare the quarterbacks. And you're right.
Hey, that's the point.
And you're right.
That's what makes it good radio.
So you're saying there's a chance. Hey, Rob. Hey, Rob, let's go ahead and set up the OT portion. We got about a minute here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, obviously you hear that we like to have a little bit of fun on our show. We appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate the call from New Jersey. Shout out to Jersey. Maybe we'll mention Rutgers in the show next week for y'all next week. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Please join us on Wednesday night next week. We're getting the heart of the football season here, the NFL playoff stretch run, final 3 weeks of the season. We even got some Saturday football for the NFL for you this Saturday night. That's going to be fun. Obviously, we're getting into the bowl season coming up. Shout out to Grambling in the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. Grambling to get a win for the state of Louisiana, although that's going to be tough beating NC, A&T, the undefeated. Join us next Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaii time. Sorry they took the Pro Bowl away from y'all. It's going to be in Orlando this year. But we still want you to tune into our show on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Absolutely. And you don't listen to them. I understand that he's still Nick Foles, and he may wake up one day and realize that he's Nick Foles, and I might just be an idiot for everything that I said. But I was just trying to give everybody in Philadelphia area a little glimpse of a ray of hope, so to speak. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you, Luke, for calling.
Yeah, you don't want to be on any bad side.
Yeah, no, they throw batteries at you. Call in again, Lou. That was really good. I appreciate you. we all let y'all download it and listen to the OT. Talk to you later.
JQ is still defending that. He's still talking about Nick Foles. I love it, man. Oh. Let's talk about that. That's great.
Man. We're going to use that one against him like the way we use Kevin Love against Andre.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. No, that is way worse. That's way worse.
Nah.
He called him like the fifth option behind Amon Shumpert.
Oh, man.
And J.R. Smith.
Oh. We can't
Kevin Love is quietly
like,
having a very good season.
He very much so is.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Dre. You got to let it go. Come on, player.
Okay. I got you. I'm just waiting. Just keep that in mind.
I guess that's what it's all about, man. Y'all tease me about Les Miles.
Yes, Lord. That soundbite was one for the ages. You want them dancing all in your videos. Come to Death Row. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, man.
I ain't forgot about that, Rob.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, man.
Let's get back to going. We're having fun. So, Monday night was pretty interesting because I had a lot of Dolphin fans that it was so funny. I was, like, hosting trivia. And one of the guys, I was like, what if the Dolphins beat Pages? Man, that ain't going to happen. And the dude was, like, swearing up and down there's no way in Hades that the Dolphins would beat the Patriots. It was like, it'll be a cold day in hell. I'm like, well, bro, we are. We didn't have Snowpocalypse, so there you go. So he was choking. and the Dolphins pulled it off. And I got to give a shout out to the defense for the Dolphins. Now, I was kind of upset because they shut down Brandon Cooks. So that would have helped me. But it was just a bad game. And he obviously knew that Gronkowski was out, but I didn't expect it to go that bad, guys. So what are your thoughts? And you compare quarterbacks, JQ. You said Brady versus Cutler.
Yeah.
There's no competition, but yet, how do they pull it out? So is New England still elite, I guess, is the question on your mind? And I'll put it to you, Rob. Go ahead, JQ. Yeah, finish up. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Luton Gronkowski is a big blow because he commands so much attention across the middle of that defense and not having to defend him because Dwayne Allen has not been the guy that we thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson. So you can't underestimate that. But we've been so used to seeing Brady and Belichick be able to overcome everything that you're like, okay, they can do it. But I tell you what, and John Gruden kept talking about it during it, like who are these New England Patriots on defense? And they just really just got beat up. I mean, Kenyon Drake, I mean, woo. That dude had him a game, and that took a lot of pressure off of Cutler. And Cutler made some plays, but, you know, I'll say a broke clock is right for today. And sometimes you just run into a bad game, and it could have been a trap game for them. You take Miami for granted. Yeah. We're going to go down there, whoop up on them boys, and then we got a Pittsburgh, and then this is basically for the number one seed in the AFC. And Miami came to play because that dude Xavier, to your point about Brandon Cooks, just took him out of the game. So when you got somebody that can take the deep threat away in one-on-one coverage and you don't have a Gronk, that's a lot of pressure on a New England offense without those two. You know, I mean, Amendola's okay. Hogan's okay. You like the versatility that you can get from a Burkhead and from a Deion Lewis and a James White. But, you know, they're not going to go to the Pro Bowl by any stretch. So when you take away Cooks and you don't have Gronk, that puts a lot of pressure on an offensive line just, you know, with Sue and the boys on that front line. It just took it to Tom Brady. But I think a lot of it was personnel missing, and it was definitely a trap game. I mean, they'll never admit to it because that's not the quote-unquote Patriot way. They take every game as a Super Bowl, but they kind of look like they felt like they could just put their jerseys on and beat Miami and then roll into Pittsburgh and have that game. But at the end of the day, you know, they go into Pittsburgh. If they beat Pittsburgh, they have the tiebreaker and they have the same record, then all is well if they win out, right? So, I mean, I still won't say they're not elite, you know, because they weren't at full strength. And you have bad games that happen. You just don't normally see it. I mean, Pittsburgh got monkey stomped by Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's a good team, but they got monkey stomped by Jacksonville. I don't know if you remember that. I think Ben threw like five picks in that game. Like, they got crushed. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have games.
In Pittsburgh, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Pittsburgh lost to the Bears as well. So, I mean,
you
have games where you feel like you can just put your jersey on and feel like you're a better team and you are in talent, but that other team comes to play and you don't bring your A game. He's a grown man, and you can lose. And I think that's just what happened in New England and Miami.
Monkey stomps, huh? Go ahead, Rob.
Monkey stomps.
Well, I definitely think New England is still an elite team this season, elite organization. Even if they lose to Pittsburgh this coming weekend, I still feel that way. They'll still be a tough out come playoff time. I mean, Belichick is going to have them. I mean, he would definitely have them ready to play come playoff time. You better believe it. Now, you know, historically, Tom Brady has struggled against the sushi people in Miami. I mean, I think he's 7-9 down there in his career. Yeah, so
something
he's
like that.
So it hasn't been the he's always had tough times playing down there in Miami. So it's not a complete shock that they went down there and lost the game. I think the way they lost is maybe a little bit surprising because Miami was really in control of that game for the most part. So give a shout out to the sushi people beating the Patriots, but definitely I think they're still an elite team.
I was surprised Bill Belichick didn't break out to own the Pittsburgh because I was waiting on it. Because when that happened in Kansas City and he said own the Cincinnati, I knew we was in trouble that next week. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. When he kept saying own the Cincinnati, I was like, please stop saying Cincinnati out of your mouth because I knew we was in trouble. So if I'm Pittsburgh, you got a really pissed off team coming with Gronk coming back. Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be ready for him, though. But that's going to be a really fantastic game. And I hate both those teams, but that's going to be a game that will be – I won't get a chance to watch it because I'll be at the Georgia Tech FAMU game, but I'll try to watch it on my phone if I can.
As long as Gronkowski don't throw any bows, he'll be good. All right.
I know, right?
Let's talk about the Rams and the defense. You know, this is definitely – that was a great game between, obviously, Rams and last game here, Rams and Eagles. And I guess the question is the defense good enough to lead them to the Super Bowl? And the question is, I'm going to say, I don't know if it was just a great offense that Eagles had. I mean, right now, they both scored 40 points. I mean, that's not your recipe you want to have for the Super Bowl, but not that it's unheard of, but that's a tough call right now. So they have to play much, much better if they do plan to make a Super Bowl. That's my thoughts on that, too. But what's say you about that, Rob?
Well, if you look at the Rams' defense this season, they've been very up and down. They've had some games where they've been really good, and they're very poor against the run, surprisingly, with that defensive line. And they have Robert Quinn, Aaron Donald. So they've really been struggling against the run this season, and they've been really up and down as a defense this season. Obviously, they can score points on just about anybody in the league, so you would think that would keep them in a lot of football games. And, yeah, I mean, I would say – I think based on their offense, I think right now, even though the Eagles may have a better seed, I think the Rams will have a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl than the Eagles. But I'm not saying the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. But I do think at this stage, they will have a better chance of getting there than the Eagles can with Nick Foles.
I agree.
So I'm going to say that their defense is good enough to make plays. Their secondary with Jermaine Johnson, Aaron Donald, Robert Quinn, I think they are good enough to get to the Super Bowl. But saying that, I'm not saying they are going to get there, though.
Nick
Foles, no chunk.
There you go. That was a home game for the Eagles, by the way. I don't know if y'all saw that, but there were more Eagles fans in that game than Rams fans.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
the LA
teams are struggling to get the fans there. I think they had like a casting call to get like wannabe actors and you know to come to the games to be on TV. It's really bad what they have happening. But you know what? You're right, and I totally agree. You look at that line and that defense, you expect them to be so much better, and they have ups and downs. But if we want to look back at it, every defense has had that problem. We talked about Minnesota, and we picked them to beat Carolina because we thought their defense would be better than Carolina, and then they gave up 28 points, I believe, to Carolina, or 31 or something like that this past weekend. So there's really not a dominant defense that you can point and look at it and say, you know, that defense is shutting down all comers that they play. So I would give the Rams a little bit of a grain of salt with that right now in the way that the rules are in terms of definitely favoring the passing game, that it's hard to be a shutdown defense week in and week out throughout this NFL season, especially the way we've seen these injuries take a toll. But you're right, that offense is going to keep them in every game, but they've got to get more consistent, especially against the run. You play a good team in the playoffs, you're going to get probably get a good quarterback and a good run attack, and if you can't hold up against that run, they know they can get those tough yards on the ground, you're going to be out of the playoffs real soon. So, yeah, I think the Rams still have a shot. They got to shore that up, and they have some weeks where they look fantastic on defense and some weeks where they don't. And it's but I think that's just an epidemic across the NFL, even amongst the elite teams. You look at a Pittsburgh team that's been playing great. They gave up 36 points to Joe frickin' Flacco and the Ravens. I mean, for real? It's just I don't know what was happening this past weekend. So, you know, I give them a little bit of a mulligan is my point.
All right. Good call.
Isn't it like third straight week that the Steelers won a game on a last-second field goal?
Yeah. Chris Boswell is out of control.
Like yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, was it Cincinnati, Green Bay, and Ravens?
Baltimore, yep. Thank you for that. Yes,
I'm not sure it was in that exact order, but I know it was the three teams, three games in a row to kick the field goal to win.
Green Bay, Cincinnati, cool, Baltimore, that's the order.
Yep. All right, really quickly, we're still on quarterbacks here, and the question has Blake Bortles turned the quarter into a productive – go ahead.
Oh, no, you said quarterbacks. You got to get on me, so, yeah, I'm always about the quarterbacks. I'm going to say no.
Man.
Listen, okay, so the three of us all play competitive fantasy football. We all have multiple leagues. Does any one of your teams, any one of your leagues in the playoffs, would you start Blake Bortles against anybody and feel good about
it?
So to me, if that's the case, the people like us who watch enough football and sometimes we put money on the line in our fantasy teams to do well, if you can't say that I'm going to put money on him to win this game, I can't say that he's turned the corner. He has always shown flashes of being that guy. And then the next week he comes and makes throws where he misses dudes by 5 yards. And you're like, come on, Blake. You ain't playing SMU. This ain't Central Florida. What are you doing? You can't do that. Like, I can't put that stock in him. I need a bigger sample size of continued excellence from Blake Bortles before I say he has turned the corner. So I'm going to say no. Always had flashes of the potential, but have turned the corner yet? No, he's still got his turn signal on. He's trying to get around that corner, but it's a whole lot of traffic you got to navigate first. So he ain't made it yet.
Go ahead, Rob.
I mean, those are some definitely valid points, and I can agree with that, too. I think if he has turned a corner, I think he's at least turned a corner to being a solid NFL quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be an elite NFL quarterback, so I don't think you should ever expect that. I mean, he does have a strong arm. Maybe he can, you know, JQ just mentioned Joe Flacco. Maybe he can be that type of quarterback at some point through his career. Last year, I did think was a bad year to judge him because his offensive line was just so horrible last season.
Yeah,
he was getting sacked almost every other play. He didn't have time in the pocket. He couldn't step up in the pocket because his interior line was bad. So it was really bad. This season, obviously, Doug Marrone, a guy who's a phenomenal offensive line coach, a guy who's got a pretty solid offensive mind, a guy who I've always thought would be a pretty solid NFL head coach. And he solidified some things around Bortles to kind of hide some of his deficiencies. But I think, if anything, he's turned the corner into a solid NFL quarterback. I mean, right now he's got about 2,800 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, only 8 INTs. Having Leonard Fournette and that defense and solidifying that offensive line have really been the things that's really helped him this season into being a solid NFL quarterback. I mean, this past week, 268 yards, 2 TDs, no INTs against Seattle, big home win. The week before that against the Colts, 309 yards, 2 TDs, and no INTs as well. So I think he's becoming good enough for that team. You know, will he ever win a Super Bowl with them? I doubt it.
Wow. I'm going to have to agree with JQ that he is definitely not the quarterback, bro, and I don't care how you dice stuff. I mean, that team has a really, really good shot of being a good young team. I don't know if Bortles is the guy to lead him there. Now, again, you're going to have to go with what you have because you don't want to start all over getting a rookie unless you're going to, like, hit gold with, like, a, you know, Carson Wentz or, like, a freaking Jared Goff. But it's just tough, man. They've got enough weapons. That defense is young. It's exciting. And I don't know if Bortles is the guy. I mean, like you said, Rod, he's kind of maybe a stopgap. You know, he's kind of there solid, but he's not the guy to lead in the next level, too. So, again, I think they're a quarterback away from being truly a really good team. So that's just me.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, a couple, you know, maybe one or two. I mean, they got some good wide receivers, too. I mean, maybe, you know, get another explosive wide receiver here, and then they'll be set. But right now, that's a good dynamic team, and I don't think
you know who they are?
Lead them there, so.
You know who they are?
Yeah,
they'll
play Mako on the perimeter because they got some injuries out there.
That's a good call.
They're Houston.
Great call.
Remember we talked about
call.
Houston with all those years with that defense? And it was like, man, if they could just freaking get a quarterback, they have all the pieces. I feel the same way about Jacksonville. If they could get better, consistent quarterback play, they would be very dangerous. And I'll tell you what, you get Deshaun Watson back, and if Jacksonville, like you said, stumbled into a quarterback in this draft and he comes in and beats him out, that AFC South gets a whole lot more competitive with Deshaun Watson and Mariota. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get Luck back, and then quarterback X for Jacksonville to go with that defense and Leonard Fournette. And the Allen boys, and don't sleep on Diddy Westbrook. I mean, he's coming on a little bit. So, yeah, that AFC South is pretty intriguing. And, you know, it was also ran, but it's kind of bubbling up to the surface a little bit.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about this too now. I do want to touch base about this is crazy how we're getting a lot of love for Cleveland here. Shout out to my cousin Mario. He's in Japan. So a lot of love for him. Much love. I always make that reference for Japan, JQ. But,
gotcha.
You know, and there's a two-part question, too, because, you know, right now, a lot of the mock drafts, as you guys mentioned it, and we talked about it earlier, too, JQ, have projected Cleveland to get a quarterback. So I guess you're saying that Deshaun Kizer is not the answer. And then the second piece of that, having Josh Gordon is a huge, huge opportunity for them. And you know, kind of like, so, you know, literally you can kind of stake a claim on, you know, having your – big time wide receiver, but then who's a quarterback? And then, like you said, if you get Saquon Barkley, like we talked about, that fifth pick, this is beginning to look like a really dangerous squad, and you wonder if Hugh Jackson will be around to actually see what's going to happen because they're firing some folks. They fired the general manager and whatnot. But two-part question. I'll let you have that, Rob, your thoughts, and stay tuned on that, JQ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, that was a nice touchdown catch by Josh Gordon. It showed that he still got NFL-quality speed, and his first NFL touchdown since 2013. So you would think there would be some kind of rust, but he jumped right in and made a big play in that game. Obviously, they still lost. And I do firmly believe that they'll go 0-16 this season.
Wow.
So I don't think, you know, obviously it's a nice addition. I don't think they're going to win any one of these last three games, even though they've been competitive in some of these recent games. But in the end, they just can't seem to put it together. And so I firmly believe, I believe they play Pittsburgh the last week of the season, unless Pittsburgh got a seed locked up and they just rest everyone, that might be their best chance. And that might not even still help them. So, but as of now, I'm going to say they're going to go 0-16. And so I don't think he helps them to a victory.
Yeah. And the thing to your point, Dre, is I don't know if you can, unless Deshaun Kizer just really starts to, you know, he's had glimpses, but unless he just really takes it and runs with it, if you're Cleveland, you're almost relegating yourself to having to take a quarterback. And maybe Deshaun shows a little bit to where, you know, you do like a New England and you trade him like you trade a Brissett and a Garoppolo, right?
Yeah.
So he can end up being a chip even if you get a quarterback. But you look at that, and they get Saquon Barkley, and you say, okay, they got the tight end they took late in the first round, I think early second round. Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon is not a bad starting wide receiver to say. You put Saquon Barkley in there and quarterback and you're like, okay, the offensive line is not bad either as well. You get you get Joe Thomas back, and you still got Kevin Zeitler come from Cincinnati. I mean, the offensive line isn't bad. Where they really need some help is in the secondary, and it kind of gets lost over. They got some names in there, like a Jamie Collins and a McCourty and a Jabril Peppers, but they aren't helping themselves out either. So if I'm Cleveland, after I do that, you know, quarterback, running back, two-step in the first round, I'm thinking I'm going to go really heavy defense in that draft. And I love Hugh Jackson, but let's be honest, almost every GM that comes in wants to hire his guy. Unless he and Hugh get to some kind of level of agreement where they get together, he's done just because of the dynamics and the politics of it. It's very hard.
Oh,
it's very rare that you get a GM that inherits a coach on a losing team and he keeps that head coach. So maybe they do a swap, they trade him to Cincinnati. That could still be in play because I know that Marvin Lewis wanted Hugh to stay and be like his – he wanted him to be his coach in waiting and say, okay, I'm going to stay one more year and then you take over. But he was ready to go ahead and make that jump. Hindsight's 2020. Maybe he stays now, given what's happened. But it's not far fetched that he comes to Cincinnati. I could definitely see that happening. But for Cleveland, I think he's done. I do think they do quarterback, running back. But then if I'm Cleveland and I look at the fact that we've shown promise, we've drafted and we've got this talent on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going heavy defense on all three levels: linebacker, defensive line, and secondary. And I'm gonna say, okay, I think I got a chance on a good young offense. If I can get some good young defensive players to kind of, not like Rob said, give the game away in the third and fourth quarters, then we aren't 0-16. If you show some progress, you know, nobody's really gonna want to come to Cleveland as a free agent. It's gonna be just the only place I can go. So you've got to you've got to build through the draft and get veterans, free agents excited about wanting to come to Cleveland based off what they see. So they've got to hit it. But Dorsey's a good GM pick. I think that's a good pick for them. I don't know who they get to come be the head coach in Cleveland, but I do think Hugh is gone. I think Dorsey's going to want to put his imprint on that team, and that starts with the head coach.
Yeah, good call. Hey, I was going to tell you, unfortunately, I just want to throw it out there, the Cleveland Browns, the 49ers, the Giants have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Just want to throw that out there. All right, guys. Again, let's keep this going. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, shots
fired. This is a pretty interesting thing. We were talking about this earlier, Rob, about Baker Mayfield and then I guess where he's going to be drafted because, again, the question was, is he going to be a first-round pick? And, Rob, you seem to think that he is. There's questions about his size, but I do like his cojones. I mean, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. You've also heard some challenges about he's in that system that I was listening to an analyst talk about that. It's kind of that read option that you're not going to have that, obviously, in the NFL, so he's going to take some time to adjust. So where do you think he's going to get drafted, Rob, as far as that? And then, you know, obviously with the there's success quarterbacks like, you know, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. Not that we're comparing him to that, but, you know, maybe he can overcome a couple things like that, too. So what are your thoughts about Baker Mayfield and how he's going to progress in the NFL, Boston?
My top 10 NFL mock draft: Cleveland, Josh Rosen; New York Giants, Sam Darnold; Indianapolis, Minka Fitzpatrick, defensive back, Alabama; number 4, San Francisco, Quentin Nelson, offensive lineman from Notre Dame; number 5, Cleveland, Saquon Barkley, we already talked about; number 6, Denver, check this out, Lamar Jackson, Louisville; number 7, Tampa, Bradley Chubb, defensive end from North Carolina State. Obviously, you got a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFC South. Getting Chubb could be a good win for them. Chicago, Orlando Brown, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, a guy who protects Baker Mayfield.
Where's Chubb going? I'm sorry? Where did you say he's
who
going?
Who is this? Number 7, Tampa.
Tampa. Wow. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number 9, pass rusher, Cincinnati, Arden Key from LSU. Number 10, Baker Mayfield to the New York Football Jets. And, I have Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
This is a quarterback-heavy draft. We could have as many as 5 or 6 quarterbacks go in the first round, or if not the first round, the top 40 picks in this draft. So we may have a few that bleed into the early part of the second round. But Baker Mayfield, NFL scouts right now are very excited about his accuracy from the pocket and his mobility, his guts, his leadership. So, I mean, he's really climbing up draft boards. I definitely see him going no later than number 20 in his draft. But right now I have him going number 10. The Jets can't
Holy
keep
crap.
Playing with Josh McCown. And this weekend they're starting Bryce Petty against the Saints. And so, I mean, they can't keep competing with those quarterbacks. And they got to get somebody in there. I mean, the Jets have played really tough in a lot of games this season. Their defensive line is one of the best in the league. They got 2 Pro Bowlers on that D line. They need a quarterback and some weapons on offense for them to compete.
Yeah, they do.
And he could be a good addition for them.
Wow, top 10? Holy crap, Rob. If that's the case, bro, you will win Procrastinator of the Year, bro. Man, wow.
Yeah. I saw the CBS Sports one. They had Baker Mayfield going 8 to Cincinnati, and I was like, Lord, no. but the thing about it is when they get to the Underwear Olympics, I think it's where he's going to have a little problems because he's shorter. They say they expect him to run like a 4.9 40, which is not going to be good enough for his size. And the all-important quarterback tool that they do is hand size, and they say he's got small hands. So I think that, you know, that counterbalance with the fact that quarterbacks always artificially rise, I don't know if he goes top 10. I think that's a reach for anybody, Cincinnati or the Jets, even though they both need quarterbacks for sure. But I think he gets into the second round. I think you get into that kind of situation where, like, Denver trading up to get a Paxton Lynch in the first round. That kind of thing where he's starting to drop in the first round, and those teams with high picks in the top of the second round may try to move up to go get him. If they don't have a first-round grade or a high first-round grade on him, like, okay, but I can't wait any longer. I think you start to see that. I'm with Rob. I think he goes no later than around 20 to 22 with somebody moving up into the bottom part of the first round to get him. But to me, he's got all the intangibles. Don't get me wrong. He's a winner. But I think his tangibles in terms of his running and his hand size and his height are going to hold him back some from getting to that top 10 mark. Even though he has the pedigree and he has the record of Oklahoma, you know, the scouts want that big guy. They want that big Joe Flacco kind of guy. Even though you've got a sample size with a Russell Wilson and Drew Brees to say, and a Doug Flutie. So if you want to go back even further, shorter guys making their impact in the NFL at quarterback. But they always want that big prototypical quarterback in that pocket. So I think you're going to have to counterbalance that with what he's done on the field with his measurements, and that's going to hold him back from being as high as he would have gone if he was, say, 6'3".
Yeah. Well, like I said, good call. I mean, I sort of can see both sides of that. I kind of agree with Rob to the fact that too, man, that it could be a surprise, man. The Jets could actually pull it out, and, you know, they're going to look like geniuses, man, if they can make that happen. If he is everything, you know, he may not have the, like you said, prototypical size JQ, but everything else kind of checks, you know, and you know, you see like certain quarterbacks, you know, like it's Deshaun Watson, you know, you could be like, boom, this is our guy. And, you know, he could be just for what the doctor ordered because he's got a lot of skills. Just like the Russell Wilson and the Drew Brees. I mean, you got a chip on your shoulder, man. You got enough cojones to be like, let's make this happen. And New York will love that, man. So that's why I can see that happening for sure. You know, so they need that type of, you know, personality.
Him in New York.
You know, so, yeah.
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 Him in New York is a match made in heaven, I think. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think he would embrace New York because not everybody's built to play in New York. You have to have a certain kind of mental mind frame to play in New York and be able to take that criticism and not only endure it but thrive on it. But if you go and do well in New York, you're a god, and they'll love your dirty draws forever. So I think he is a good fit for the city of New York. So I give Rob a lot of kudos for putting him to the Jets because I think that's a great match scheme, you know, team-wise and city-wise, because like I said, you know, it's hard to play in New York, and it's definitely hard to play in New York at a premier position, especially quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to jump back to these topics here because I do want to at least.
Hello? Hey. You still there?
You there, Andre?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
Yeah, we can hear you now. You must hit the mute button on us.
No, that's where
you're doing the electric slide.
I had my headphones on. I was going to say, I'm going to skip to some quick topic here. We're going to talk about A-Ron in a quick second. But can Dak Prescott, speaking of kind of shorter quarterbacks, be an elite QB? Is the question, Rob.
I wouldn't put him in the same category as Blake Bortles, but I definitely wouldn't put him in the same category as Blake Bortles. I think he's a notch or two above Blake Bortles. And you look at his stats this season, he's got 21 touchdowns, 8 INTs, close to 3,000 yards again. He's had a couple of games this season where he did look kind of dreadful, and part of that had to do with the turnstile that they had at left tackle when Teron Smith was up to, in combination of not having Zeke Elliott as well. But the last few weeks with Alfred Morris, offensive line intact, he's looked a lot better. And so I definitely think he will be an above-average NFL quarterback. He's already have been an above-average NFL quarterback. I don't know if I'll put him in elite status, but I will put him in good status, but not the great status. But he'll definitely be a guy that I think will be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for many years to come.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's not going to be a quarterback like a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers that can make things happen on a consistent basis with a bad offensive line when he has to just put it on himself. He has to have that offensive line in front of him. And that's not a knock. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have to have that. But I think that's a lot of times is a deciding factor in terms of being, you know, very good to being elite. So I'm with Rob on that. You know, I think he's got to have that offensive line. He's got to have a very good semblance of a run game. And if you give him those things, he can watch out. He can be mighty effective in that kind of situation. But if you're asking him to just do it with a mediocre to bad offensive line, that's not going to happen. I think sometimes that's where you get into the can you be elite. Like you look at the Matthew Stafford, I think he's elite, and he hasn't really had – he hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher in – I mean, a 100-yard rusher, sorry, in a game, I think in like 4 years. So just think about that and the numbers he's been able to put up when you don't even have to respect the running game. You know Matthew Stafford is still going to have to beat you. He's still beating people and getting to the Lions to the playoffs. So that's why I kind of draw that line up. What can you do when everything is not perfect? And he, and to your point, Rob, he was dreadful. And I understand that, you know, the left tackle they had happening there was he was awful. He shouldn't even be playing in y'all's, you know, flag football league that we talked about last week, let alone in the NFL. So, you know, you just can't have that. But that would be, for me, the same thing. I think he can be very good, but I'm with you, Rob. I don't know if I can put him in the league. He's going to have to do some growing. And he's still young. This is his second year. But he's going to do some more growing when the things are not going his way in terms of the personnel around him being able to put that team on his back. And I haven't seen him be able to do that quite yet, so I can't say he's going to be elite today.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's just tough, man. Everything's got to be right for that squad to fortunately kind of like hit where – He's still young, man. It's only his second, you know, whatever, to the league, man. So he's got some time to grow into that role for sure. All right. Speaking of a guy here, Aaron Rodgers, can he lead the Packers to the playoffs? And I'm never going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. I know I'm kind of joking with him right now. But it's going to be a tall task. I do got to say, gentlemen, that – and we'll talk about quarterbacks too – whenever Brett Hundley first got in there, you're like, ugh, then, you know, he kind of went through his pants. He actually turned out to play pretty well. He's got a bright future, so we'll keep an eye on him as far as how that plays out as well, because he may be on trading block stuff, Rob, you talk about. But what do we think about Aaron, Rob? Can he lead the Packers to the playoffs?
Well, I think they're 7-6. They're one game back from the last wild card in the NFC. But I just think at this stage, it's just going to be too much for them to overcome in the tough NFC right now. I do think they can win two out of their last three games. I think Aaron Rodgers, being a successful quarterback and he's a veteran, I do think he can come back in and kind of be successful almost immediately. And obviously Green Bay has been really competitive here the last few weeks. As Brett Hundley, as Andre just mentioned, has gotten better and better on a week-to-week basis. Mike McCarthy, you know, kind of finding on the strengths and how to utilize them and things of that nature. But I think the Packers are going to be competitive. They're going to be a tough out. I think they go 2-1 in these last three games. I think they finish the season 9-7 and miss the playoffs.
Nice. Well, let's put the pump the brakes on it because, I mean, yeah, Green Bay has been playing better, but they've also played Tampa Bay and they played Cleveland. So let's not say they beat the world beaters in these past 2 weeks with Brett Hundley. I mean, they've won the games, and you got to win. You got to play the people, like you like to say, Dre, that you have on the schedule in front of you. So I will give them credit for that. But I will say they can make the playoffs, and this is why. Let's look at it. The NFC East is a dumpster fire outside of Philadelphia, and can Dallas do it? I'm not real sold on them. So we look at the NFC North. They basically are not going to catch the Vikings. Okay, can they catch the Lions? Absolutely, because they get a chance to play the Lions, I know at least once and maybe twice, but they play them at least once. But the biggest thing for me is the NFC South. The Falcons and the Saints and the Panthers do a lot of round-robin, well, not the Saints and the Panthers anymore, but a lot of round-robin, a little bit of playing each other, of, you know, the Falcons having to play the Saints twice and then play the Panthers on New Year's Eve. You know, and the Green Bay gets a chance to pull Carolina back closer to them this week by beating Carolina. So you say, okay, they got a chance to give them a loss and bring them back closer to the pack. Atlanta's got to play New Orleans again, and they got to play Carolina. And you're looking at Seattle having lost Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright in that defense, along with a Sherman and a Cam Chancellor. Can how that Houdini actor Russell Wilson has still been pulling, can he keep doing that down the stretch if you just go ahead and project the Rams to win the NFC West? So you're looking at Seattle being vulnerable coming off a loss to Jacksonville. You got the NFC South playing each other a whole lot. It's going to be a lot of carnage, self-inflicted carnage in the NFC South. And you got Green Bay with a chance to catch Detroit and bring them back and to beat Carolina and bring them back them to them in terms of the record and maybe and get that, you know, all-important head-to-head tiebreaker. So I would say, yes, Green Bay has a very good shot. They've got the schedule worked out for them. They won the game they were supposed to win with only a quarterback, and you get Aaron Rodgers back, you know, and that'd be that schedule with Carolina, Minnesota, and Detroit. That's doable for them. I agree that, you know, 2-1, but they can get to 3-0. But that NFC South, I think, is going to feed on itself, and that's going to be Green Bay's best shot at a chance at a wild card spot.
Yeah, good call. Good call. All right. Like I said, you know, for everyone out there, R-E-L-A-X. It's going to happen. Let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about some NFL predictions here really quickly. And we got about 10 minutes here. Let's talk about, because we got to get to the college bowl games. Let's talk about the Chargers at the Chiefs. Go for that, Rob.
The Chiefs have really struggled. Obviously, they bounced back and beat the Raiders this past week. The Chargers on the road and playing really well. This is probably the best I've seen Phillip Rivers play in a long, long time. That being said, I think this is going to be a tough game for them to win on the road. Even though I'm rooting for them, I'm really rooting for Anthony Lynn and the Chargers. Really like the way they've been playing. But I think the Chiefs find a way to win another game at home, just like they did against the Raiders this past week. They win by a field goal at home. Kansas City, a tough place to go on the road and get a win. And I think the Chiefs beat them by 3 points this weekend. I'm going to go 23-20 Chiefs.
Nice. Well, the Raiders are a dumpster fire. So, I mean, they couldn't beat the Chiefs with Marcus Peters being out and having Crabtree back. So I'm not going to take too much stock in that. The Chargers might be the hottest team in the NFL right now. That Bolsom Ingram pairing coming off the edge has been flat-out lights out for them. And to your point, Phillip Rivers playing really well, Gordon playing well. And if we want to talk about it, at some point we're going to have to put Keenan Allen in this conversation of elite wide receivers in the league because he's flat-out just smoking fools on the outside.
Yes, he is.
Getting a lot of targets but making the most of those targets as well. I'm going to take the Chargers, and I know I try not to take too many road teams. Kansas City is a very tough place to play. But I just don't want to bet against this Chargers team. If you tell me the team that's playing the hottest right now, they're in that conversation of the top two or three teams playing the best football right now. I'm going to take the Chargers in a four-point game because I think Alex Smith has come back to the meeting a little bit, and they kicked too many field goals for me for Kansas City. And those four-point differences between touchdowns and field goals might catch up to them this week against a very good Chargers team on the road.
The Chargers. There you go, JQ.
And I'm actually Chargers. I do hope they win.
Yeah.
So it's funny. So now we're talking to Panthers Packers at the Panthers. This is a game where I'm going to be an Aaron Rodgers fan. Yeah, because I want the Packers to beat the Panthers, and we don't want you to tie us. So, yeah, I'm going for that. But your thoughts about that, JQ?
Yeah, and we talked about the Panthers with a very impressive win against the Vikings. That being said, Aaron Rodgers coming back, oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that secondary is beat up. I think that's going to be one of the really, really good games of the weekend. The problem I have with taking Cam Newton is he's fantastic, but his accuracy is so bad. And Greg Olsen still doesn't look like he's over that foot injury. I saw him come hobbling out of the game again this past week. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I think Aaron Rodgers, in true Aaron Rodgers fashion, wins a close three-point game. And they make it real interesting in the wild card chase in the NFC.
Yep. Rob?
I think the Panthers win this game at home. And I think it's going to be a really exciting football game. I think it's going to be pretty high scoring, too. I think the Panthers win this game 31-27 at home. Obviously, I hate admitting that, but I think Carolina is going to win this game and win 31-27 at home.
Like you said, JQ, yeah, but we'll see. I was going to say, Cam Newton has problems with accuracy as well as picking out his outfit, so good call on that too. So, all right, here we go. Rams at – is this the Rams and the Seahawks are coming back? Wow, that's right. Okay. I'm thinking the – I was just literally thinking the Eagles at the Seahawks. But, yeah, Rams at the Seahawks. This is another good game. What about this one, JQ?
Listen, I know we talked about it, but that Houdini and Russell Wilson, I think they just found a way. It's going to be one of those mucked up games. I do, and it's no knock on the Rams. I think the Rams actually have the better team, but I think the Seattle just finds a way at home to win a 1-point game. Russell Wilson on the last drive to kick a field goal to win it. I could see the Rams winning. Because I think they have the better team, but I think playing in Seattle is, I think that might be the toughest place to play right now in the league is that. And if they can get one of those two guys back, maybe in KJ Wright or Bobby Wagner in the middle of that defense, I think they have a shot. I just think they find a way. I think the Rams are still trying to find their way to learn. They're still a young team with a young head coach and a young QB, and you can be rattled going up there the same way that Houston went up there and gave Seattle everything they had, but Seattle found the way to beat a young Deshaun Watson. I think they found a way to beat a young Jared Goff.
All right.
Robert Ford.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Seattle wins this game as well. And this will complete a sweep of the Rams for Seattle. I mean, Seattle won at Los Angeles early this year. So this is really a big game for the Rams. Obviously, they got a one-game lead over Seattle. Seattle wins this game, and they're tied, and Seattle will own the tiebreaker over the Rams. But I do think Seattle's going to win. I think they're the more experienced team. They've been there before, and I think Seattle wins this game at home. It's going to be a tough place for the young Jared Goff to go on the road and get a win. But I do think the game is high scoring again. I think Seattle 34, Rams 28.
Wow. All right. Let's wrap up the last game here. Let's do the aforementioned Patriots and JQ's favorite team, the Steelers, here. And then I guess let Bill Belichick next week at Pittsburgh. Next week at Pittsburgh. Go ahead. Your thoughts on this. Go ahead, JQ.
You know what? Again, I think that the Patriots showed some signs of being real mortal. And if Jay Cutler can do that to them, and I'm not going to give you Drake and Jarvis Landry, but if you're going to give me Cutler, Drake, and Landry versus Roethlisberger, Bell, and Antonio Brown, I mean, I think we're all taking the Killer Bees. And I hate them, but they keep finding ways to win these games, and I think they do it again. That New England defense is real mortal right now. They're going to have to get in the lab to figure some things out, but the Steelers just have, they're going to have to figure some stuff out. But the Steelers, I think, just have too much firepower for them, and I think that's going to be another one. I think we're in for some really high-scoring, good shootout games. This is going to be a very good Sunday, and I say that and watch you get a whole lot of 17-10 with snow. But I think Pittsburgh finds a way to beat New England again. Chris Boswell with another field goal. I do. They just have that charm, that horseshoe up their butt right now, and Chris Boswell is bailing them out, and I think he bails them out again.
In the words of DJ Collin, another one. All right, let's wrap
another
this up.
Another
one, we
right.
We got to get into some seriously serious bowl games here. All right, we're going to five of these. We already talked about the Celebration Bowl. Let's do the New Orleans Bowl.
Wait a minute.
I think the Steelers are going to win, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to have to make a pick.
My bad, Rob. I was trying to do the handoff, but I apologize.
So I had to give my two cents in.
My bad. I'm sorry.
I had you, Rob. I was good.
But,
I
think the Steelers are going to win, too. as we've said many times before on this show, the Steelers play up or down to the competition. The Steelers win another game by a field goal, 31-28.
I agree.
I apologize. Seriously,
Chris Boswell.
Seriously, I wasn't trying to skip you. I was just trying to get to the next topic. So I know we wrap it up here. So my bad. I apologize. All right, we got a lot of last topics to get through these. We got to be quick here. So I'm just going to, you know, you, JQ, Rob, you just call them out here because we got to wrap up the show here. So New Orleans Bowl, Troy versus North Texas. It's going to be Rob, then JQ. Kind of flip-flop, okay? So start us off, okay. Rob. Go from there. Troy versus North Texas.
I like Troy because they beat LSU.
Me, same. Same. Troy.
Georgia State.
Say what?
The Auto Nation Cure Bowl, Western Kentucky versus Georgia State.
The Western Kentucky, Georgia State is not a really great team. They get in because all teams make bowls.
Yeah, Georgia State is a new football program, 6-5. Western Kentucky wins in Orlando.
So, Jake, can you not even give it a winner? That's what you said. That's your answer.
I did. I said Western Kentucky.
Oh, okay. I thought you said
Western Kentucky.
My bad. I thought you said
no, no. I said all teams make bowl games. Yeah, see, no, you trying to get me in trouble down here. My wife is a Georgia State graduate. No. Western Kentucky.
Oh, man. Here we go. The Las Vegas Bowl, number 25, Boise State at Oregon.
Oregon.
Boise State, Oregon, obviously losing the coach, Willie Taggart. I think it's going to be tough. Boise State wins.
But Oregon,
again,
the Oregon players can't pick their head coach.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry.
Hey, no, I was going to say, just, you know, we're flip-flopping, so if you answer the last one, the other person goes first, so that's how it's going to go for their for this prediction, okay? So if you went first last time, then vice versa. So, all right, so Rob starts off.
It's on you, Rob.
New Mexico Bowl, Marshall versus Colorado State.
I'm going to pick Colorado State.
Me too.
All right. The Camilla Bowl, Middle Tennessee versus Arkansas State.
Sweet Jesus. Arkansas State. High-powered offense.
I love it. Rob?
Come on, Rob.
Rob. Where are you at, Rob? Did Rob drop
uh-oh.
Off?
Red beans and rice got him.
Uh-oh.
I think Rob, uh-oh.
Dropped off. Okay.
Okay.
Well, how much? Rob, you still with us? He's got a little question mark on his number here, but I hope he didn't, like, literally drop off.
He might have.
Maybe he didn't. Okay. All right. All good. So we'll wrap it up here. Let's do – what are we talking about here? The Boca Raton Bowl, Akron, the Zips versus Florida Atlantic.
They're playing in Florida Atlantic's backyard. Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic.
Where,
oh, there
bro,
he is.
You made it back, bro. Did you not hear us calling you?
Florida
name?
Atlantic.
I never left. I don't know why you guys couldn't hear me.
Yeah,
we
couldn't hear
like,
you.
Rob.
Hello?
All right.
Yeah, we
can hear
you.
Yeah, I kept talking. I'm like, I'm not on mute. Yeah, that was weird. But, yeah, I had said Arkansas State as well. And in this pick, Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Lane Kiffin. Wow. Go Owls. Go Owls. Go Owls. Hey, let's wrap it up with the Fresco Bowl, Louisiana Tech. Shout out for Rob and SMU.
I may sound biased picking Louisiana Tech, but SMU losing Chad Morris, going to Arkansas, I'm going to go Louisiana Tech, even though I think SMU, if they had their coach, will win this game pretty handily.
I'm still going to go SMU. I think they got a better team, but I can see Louisiana. I agree with you. That's tough, but I'm going to stay with SMU.
Good call. All right, gentlemen. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. I know we definitely went beyond the boundaries of Pride Rock. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, Rob. Sports with 12th Man. Go ahead.
That's the Elephant Graveyard.
Yeah, for real.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on, of course, on Wednesday night again, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Obviously, we got a lot of things that's happening in the NFL world, getting close to the playoffs here. We're in the fantasy playoffs here, so we got a lot going on in the sports world. Obviously, we're getting closer and closer to the college football playoffs. And there's some other exciting bowl games, too. Obviously, JQ's Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl against USC, I think, is a real intriguing matchup. I even like my LSU Tigers against Notre Dame in the Citrus Bowl. Could be an intriguing matchup as well. And you got a couple of other ones, Washington, Penn State, in the Fiesta Bowl. So, yeah, we got a lot of bowls to talk about. We're getting close to the nitty-gritty of their bowl season. Of course, the two semifinal matchups, obviously, are going to be big games as well. So we're going to have a lot to talk about here in the next few weeks. You don't want to miss any of our shows, people. Definitely tune in. Once again, Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for downloading the podcast and staying with us in this OT. We gave you a lot of good stuff today. We holler at you next Wednesday. Go Chargers.
Love it. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to share the field of battle with you. Shout out to Lou for calling in. Thank you so much, man, from Jersey.
Yeah,
we appreciate
that.
Keep listening to us. And until next week, gentlemen, have a fantastic week, man. I'm looking forward to what the future has in store for us as always, man. So be good, and good luck in your fantasy games. We'll talk to you soon, guys. Peace.
All right, brother. Holler at you later. Holler at you, Rob.
Good night, people.
Yep. Good night.
All right.